Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting live from our studios in New York City. And today, the first day where we can video stream. And if you remember the video stream, please come in. My engineer will give it to me, and I'll tell you how you can go up and watch today's show in a very warm studio in New York City. We have a lot to share today. I'm going to give you the latest on the what are called anthocyanins. These are the chemicals in a lot of products, the berries, pomegranates, grapes, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries. They give it its healing power, the power to alter your DNA, in effect to make an old cell new and young again, to clean up the debris in there. From Michael Downey, some new information. Also, we have a lot of people in this audience who they eat too many starchy foods. And when you eat starch, you can cause what is known as a starch-induced glucose surge, where your blood sugar level goes up. But it doesn't stay up very long. You get maybe a 5-minute to 10-minute high, and it comes right back down again. When that happens, you end up in that roller coaster of having energy, no energy, feeling hyper, then wanting to take a nap. So stopping the starch glucose surge, some new information from Scott Rackenau. My guest in the second part of our program will be a newsmaker update. That is Russ Baker. Now, Russ is a multi-award-winning investigative reporter and journalist. He has received all the major awards. He was an associate professor of journalism at Columbia School of Journalism. And we're going to talk about the death of journalist Michael Hastings. What are we not being told? Michael died recently in a car wreck, but he was going like 100 miles an hour. But yet we were told that Michael drove like, quote, like someone's grandmother. Slow, very cautious. He had just told friends that he was working on a major story, a story that would have enormous implications, and that he was fearful he was going to go off the radar. What happened? Was it an accident? Or, as some have claimed, was it possible that people involved who would have been exposed or embarrassed got control of his vehicle, which is technically possible? They can get into your car, into your electronic system, and they can do a lot of stuff. They could make your acceleration go where you couldn't hit the brakes, couldn't turn off the car engine. So we're going to talk with Russ Baker on that and see if he knows anything. Commentary today on something that I've wanted to do for a while. The big banks get away with it. Major corporations get away with it. Pharmaceutical industry always gets away with it. Fraud, insider training, crimes of every nature, no one goes to jail. How do they do it? Well, let's take one single case, Bank of America. They've gotten away with massive fraud, racketeering, and money laundering. Andrew Gavin Marshall from Alternet explains how that happens. You'll be surprised, because it ties in with something I'm working on right now, and that is the interlocking connections between the 2,000 most powerful people in the world. They're all interconnected. So I'll show you how one protects the other, and that'll be today. Also, the latest on global warming in our environmental segment. A new report just today from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. Now, that's America's number one science magazine. That's considered the ultimate authority. They're saying this. Due to global warming, the end is virtually certain for New York City, Boston, Miami, and Holland. Okay. Well, when? How long will it take? Not that long. Do you remember when I did a report 5 years ago, then 3 years ago, an original article, and then recently I mentioned depleted uranium, that no embedded journalist not from Fox or CNN or NBC. No one was bringing back the story of what our depleted uranium that was used in our munitions was doing to the Iraqi citizenry, especially when it came to birth defects. And I remember the night at the AMC Theater on 42nd Street, 1,117 people from this audience came for the premiere of a Gulf War veterans killing our own. And at the last 5 minutes of the film, I simply showed faces, names, and the cause of death of all of these young children. And afterwards, people were there and said, "Gee, Gary, we didn't know any of this. Why isn't the mainstream media covering this? They have reporters there." And I said, "Because they can't. Because on the one hand, if you say it's a noble war, we're there to liberate people, to bring freedom and democracy, and that's what we used over 100 years in over 70 countries around the world. Of course, we brought no democracy and no freedom. It was always some neoliberal process of taking away their resources, implanting dictators or military leaders that would honor our economic interest and political interest." I said, "Could you imagine if the average American started looking at all these pictures, but there are thousands of these pictures, and saw how the people of Iraq are suffering? We wouldn't tolerate it." Today, there's a new article: depleted uranium used by U.S. forces blamed for birth defects and cancer in Iraq, from Countercurrents. I'll quote this. It's virtually in alignment with what I've been saying. We have a lot to share. And I'm going to ask my engineer what the people I have to turn to if they want to watch today's program. We'll type it in here, and then you can come on board and watch all of our programs, not just this one. At least the ones that are filmed live as well. Let's begin taking a look at the latest on health and healing. A really good study published in the peer-reviewed journal Ophthalmology shows that individuals who use vitamin supplements, and this was a 3,500 person study. The study was called the Age-Related Eye Disease Study, and it was over a 6-year period. If you use vitamin C, beta carotene, vitamin E, plus zinc, you were found to have a substantial improvement in eye health, and you reduce age-related macular degeneration. Now, age-related macular degeneration is the number one cause of blindness in the United States. And I'm looking at the computer here at US Stream TV /channel, The Gary Knoll Show. I think there was something similar, simple, if I remember correctly. So let's ask Jason, see if we can have a simple name up there to get to the TV watching. I've mentioned that everyone over the age of 35 should have their hormone levels checked, because depending upon what you've done prior to 35, you could be 10, 20, or 30 years older biologically than your chronological age. Meaning, let's say that you're 30, but if you smoke, if you drank, if you binge drank, if you ate garbage food, if you didn't exercise, if you worked in a polluted environment, you could be 60. And if you're 50, you could be 100. And you need to know that. Now, some of the worst indicators that you're prematurely aging and more susceptible to cancer and heart disease would include C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, and the bad LDL cholesterol and its ratio to the good HDL. Here's the latest on why we have to pay attention to this. This is published in the peer-reviewed journals of Gerontology, Biological Sciences, Medical Sciences. Quote, high homocysteine link with frailty and early death in men. The study included 4,248 men, and they found that if the homocysteine levels of 15 or more measured in samples, and if you start having a high homocysteine, you have a 49% greater risk of of being frail and a 25% greater risk of dying overall. So if you want to live a longer life, check your hormones. If you have an elevated homocysteine, it's not difficult to bring it down. You can bring it down several ways. You can take trimethylglycine, 1,000 milligrams, three times a day. Folic acid, methylated folic acid, 400 milligrams once a day. B6, 400 milligrams once a day. Vitamin E, 800 units. You could also take vitamin C and quercetin and hawthorn berry, 100 milligrams, three times a day. And you can bring down B12 at 1 milligram twice a day. You can bring down your vitamin B12 level into a very safe range. But you got to know that it's elevated in order to do that. A new study shows that high omega-3 fatty acids are linked to a lower risk of dying over a 16-year period. Now, this is from the Annals of Internal Medicine. And they report that if you have high levels of the plasma phosphatidyl omega-3 fatty acids, the risk of dying over a 16-year period is substantially reduced. Now, what would that mean in lay language? What means about 2,000 milligrams a day of the omega-3 fatty acids? I suggest 1,000 in the morning and 1,000 in the evening. Now, there are other things you can do besides that to live a longer life, but this is just the omega-3s that we're talking about, and that's important. Also, a nutrient that we've never associated with diabetes now turns out to be a player, melatonin. This is from the Journal of the American Medical Association. A link between decreased levels of melatonin and a greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Now, what do we know? We know that melatonin is our sleep-inducing hormone. It's secreted from a tiny little grape seed-sized gland, the pineal gland, in the middle of the brain. And we know that today, so many individuals are having a deprivation of darkness. There's always light. There's always a computer light, television light. People don't unplug their computers or turn off their computers or TVs at night. They leave them on, so there's always that background light. So let's say you go to bed, and you're lying there, but the trouble is you've got a cell phone near your head, and that's pulsing right into the pineal gland. That's bad. That can adversely affect your melatonin levels. Let's say that you stay up and you fall asleep watching television. Lots of people do. Not a good idea. First, it's terrible for your posture. Ideally, you shouldn't sleep with a pillow. I haven't slept with a pillow since I was a kid. Much better to sleep on a very hard mattress. And now you can buy natural fiber mattresses that don't outgas, that allow your body to perspire and not create bacteria or fungus. And the natural fibers are good for you. And if you get a very firm one, on a scale of 1 to 5, the 5 would be the firmest, then your body is going to be much more refreshed. And you won't have all the lower back pain. And a lot of people's lower back pain comes when they're sleeping, and they're sleeping on too soft a mattress. In any case, turn off all the electricity. Unplug the TV and the computer. Turn it off so there's no power to it. Because if there's power to it, it's radiating out electromagnetic pulse. Don't sleep with a cell phone near your head. Big mistake, because it's giving off an electromagnetic pulse. If you do those things and you take melatonin, 1 milligram a night, about an hour before you go to bed, you're going to have a much deeper, much better sleep. Your immune system's going to be stronger, and you'll have less likelihood of having diabetes. Also, the intake of fiber and fiber-rich plant foods is associated with a lower risk of some cancers. This is in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And here's what it says. Quote, plant-based and fiber-rich diets, high in vegetables, fruits, and whole grains, are recommended to prevent cancer and chronic conditions associated with renal cell carcinoma. That means your kidney cancer. So, and also obesity, hypertension, diabetes. And recently, an article published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition investigated the diet, habits of a large prospective cohort of U.S. men and women, and they found out that there was a significant 20% lower risk of kidney cancer if you had the highest intake of fibers and legumes and whole grains, cruciferous vegetables, and that's a big deal. So, that's important. Want to help people with Alzheimer's? Want to help prevent Alzheimer's? Green tea is one piece of this puzzle that works. This is from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. So our highest scientific institution tells us that green tea is good. And what they did is at the University of Michigan, researchers found a new potential benefit of a molecule in green tea, preventing the misfolding of specific proteins in the brain. The faculty member, Dr. Lim, and an interdisciplinary team of researchers used green tea extract to control the generation of metal-associated amyloid aggregates associated with Alzheimer's disease in the lab. And they found that the EGCG, that's the chemical in green tea that really helps your brain, it really does in a major way. There's also other flavonoids in green tea, but they all work together. And finally, fish oil supplements can help prevent skin cancer from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Now, we know that skin cancer is a big cancer. It's one of the most common cancers because of the solar ultraviolet radiation exposure and skin immunity. Well, the omega-3s protect against photoimmunosuppression and skin cancer, and that's important, at least in the laboratory, so let's make sure that we're getting our omega-3s. All good. And by the way, I'm going to hold up, if you can see it here, if you're watching us. I'm going to ask my engineer to get on this. Wasn't it something like Gary and All TV or something that they could go to that was real simple so they could stream this? This is the New York Times. Now, this is the entire national page. Look at this. It shows a glacier. Here's what it says. It says, Alaska looks for answers in glacier summer surges. And the entire front page here of this section, it shows hikers in front of the glacier. And it shows a small town, it's 400,000 people visit this area. It's only 14 miles from downtown Juneau. And what's happening is, remember I said the glaciers are melting, but they're melting faster than what anyone predicted? Well, this is melting faster than anyone predicted, and it's causing flooding. Flooding in the towns, the farmlands are being flooded, the banks can't hold all of the water. Now imagine this. I'm going to put this into your consciousness. All of the models for global warming are based upon some form of linear projection, meaning if we hit 1 degree above our existing temperature, then that will cause X amount of heat, which will cause this much melting. If we hit 2 degrees above, which is going to happen and probably in the next 5 years, then that will cause this much. All those are completely flawed. Why? Because we are in what is known as chaos theory. Once you take away the amount of protection, let's say snow that reflects the sun back into the atmosphere, and instead you don't have the snowpack and you don't have the ice in the Arctic and it's shallow water, the sun goes in, it warms up the floor, and that allows massive amounts of methane, which release a greater amount of pollution and heat than does just carbon dioxide. And we have 2 trillion metric tons of that that is capable of being released. In the last 150 years of the Industrial Revolution, we've only released 300 billion tons. That means that we have a lot more to go. Now, if we've gotten this hot with record-breaking heat in every country up to this moment, imagine if we even double it. Well, the trouble is, what took you 150 years to cause might take you 5 years to cause if you have no checks and balances, if there's no equilibrium, if there's no homeostasis, and we're losing homeostasis. We see it in the great boreal forest. We see it in the great tundras and the steppes in Russia. We see it in Siberia. We're seeing thawing. We're seeing vegetation in Switzerland and in Sweden at altitudes in Norway that we've never seen before. We're seeing die-off of massive forests because those forests are used to not having beetles because it was too cold for the beetles to exist. Now there's long summers, long falls that are warmer, and shorter winters that are warmer. As a result, the natural balance has been lost. So let's just say that you start melting Greenland and you start melting Antarctica. You can't predict how much water is going to melt. Go down to the bottom of those and act like a DW40 bringing that giant glacier off into the ocean. There's no mathematical model possible to do it. Because once it starts, it feeds on itself. There's a loop that you start and you can't stop. And no one can predict that. So the idea that we're going to have now the loss of New York and all these other major cities, absolutely. But if they're predicting that far in the future, then they are using the wrong mathematical model. We just see too many indications that we're going to be having some major environmental impacts in the next 2 or 3 years. That's when I predict we're going to see this happening. Ustream TV search for Gary Null. That's what I'm told. All right. Now, just a few other things before we take our break here. The next thing on the environmental issue is Keystone. It was President Obama who said that he was concerned, sure he is, on not on our interest, but he was concerned about the Keystone Pipeline, and he was going to look to see if there was any impact. Well, of course, the people who are on that panel are all people associated with the Keystone approval process, including in the State Department. Here is the latest on why we should all say no to the Keystone approval from Common Dreams. Quote, approval of the tar sands carrying Keystone Pipeline is a guaranteed path towards increasing greenhouse gases, which would worsen climate change, thereby failing President Obama's own climate test for the pipeline's approval, according to a report that was issued yesterday by the National Resource Defense Council. Quote, our analysis clearly demonstrates that the Keystone Pipeline would dramatically boost the development of dirty tar sands oil, significantly exacerbating the problem of climate pollution. And that was according to Susan Lefkowitz, their director. The pipeline would add up to 1.2 billion metric tons of carbon pollution to the atmosphere over the span of the project. That's according to the economic and climate analysis by the group. Quote, this is without taking climate pollution from destruction of boreal peatlands and wetlands into account. So, this should be rejected. The Keystone Project should be rejected, and it should be an important thing that we do. And also, from our public health segment, we are not being told the truth of the impact of our military operations and depleted uranium in any country that we go into, whether it was in Kosovo or in Somalia, Iraq, or Afghanistan. This is from Countercurrents, and it's short, but it makes its point. Quote, the U.S. military's use of depleted uranium in Iraq has led to a sharp increase in leukemia and birth defects in the city of Najaf, and panicked residents are fearing for their health. Cancer is now more common than the flu. It should be mentioned that this city saw one of the most severe military actions during the 2003 invasion. Kafanov, the reporter, traveled to the area, quickly learning that every residential street in several neighborhoods has seen multiple cases of families whose children are ill, as well as families who have lost children and other members from cancer. Speaking on the rooftop of her house, said the laboratory, Dr. Sundas Nassif says the city has seen a dramatic rise in cancer and birth defects, since the 2003 U.S. led invasion in Iraq. She said the alternative location was chosen because there is an active push by the government not to talk about the issue, perhaps an effort not to embarrass coalition forces. I have to quote, after the start of the Iraq war, rates of cancer, leukemia, and birth defects rose dramatically in this area. The affected individuals had no place to go. And we believe it's because of the illegal weapons, like depleted uranium, that were used by the Americans to cause these incidences. When you visit the hospital here, you see that cancer is more common than the flu. And her own three children all died because they were born with congenital deformities. The war isn't over. Yes, the Americans are gone, but we're still suffering from the consequences. She blames the radioactive ammunition used by American forces during the war for the health problems of her children. Her only surviving 8-year-old son has a nervous system disorder, and doctors don't expect him to survive to his first birthday. So, could you imagine if other reporters began to show what we were the first to do? We brought the pictures from Iraq, put them in the film, and it's up on our website if you want to see that for yourself. And just a couple other little issues that are still important. The Supreme Court rules drug companies exempt from lawsuits in a 5-4 vote. And what this means is that upwards of 80% of all the drugs that are currently being prescribed and sold, if there's a problem with them, if you should end up with cancer or a heart attack because of the drugs, historically you could sue the drug companies and have your day in court. No more. This is the same court that allowed Citizens United to see the takeover of our democratic process and by buying elections and buying candidates. So this is just one more benefit to major corporations. Now they're like the vaccine industry. Doesn't matter how dangerous the drug is, they don't have to factor in all the cost of being sued. That's unfortunate. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. To welcome all of you to this program. I'm Gary Nall. We have a lot to go, but we're going to take a few moments here. By the way, you can go to ustream.tv. That's ustream.tv. Then search for Gary Nall and the program video streaming will pop up. Now, in a few moments, Russ Baker, commentary on Bank of America's recipe for getting away with massive fraud, racketeering, and money laundering. That's the new norm, and more. But let's say hello first to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, hello, Gary.
We're going to take just a few moments because we're in the midst of a fundraiser for our sister station in Washington, D.C., WPFW. The manager of PFW called and says, Gary, I heard about the success of the health retreat for KPFK, our sister station in Los Angeles, which we just finished this past weekend after 2 weeks, and said, could you help us? And I said, sure. So what we've done, we've selected 1 week, the only week I have available, which is August the 18th. That's a Sunday. That still allows people who haven't taken their summer vacation to use this. And we're going to have a wonderful time together. Again, this is a fundraiser. I'm donating my time free, as is Luann. As we just did for this station, WPFW in Washington. where I've been for 30 years. I'm on every day at 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Here's what it is. We believe that there are a lot of ways that people can grow, change, de-stress, detoxify, and heal. In other words, rejuvenate, reinvigorate themselves. But to do that, you frequently need a controlled environment, an environment where each day you wake up and you can go out on a track and do a workout. Then you do yoga with an outstanding yoga teacher. Then water aerobics, then personal training with a wonderful person who's the best I know in America about showing you how to move your body and get yourself into shape. And then juicing and smoothies and a cooking class, wonderful gourmet vegan cooking class, and discussions on every aspect of food and chelation and natural cleansing. Then in the afternoon, meditations of different types and more classes, and then body work classes, energy work classes. And then in the evening, more juicing and one big meal in the daytime. And then I do a different lecture every night. In fact, I'm doing a different lecture this every night than I did over the last 12 nights because some of those people were so happy with the results that they're coming this time. I think 6 people who were just with us want to come to this one, which is fine. Normally, an event like this, what we're doing, what we're offering, would run somewhere around $6,000 to $8,000. And Luann, you've been looking at all over 100 different places, and we're only charging $2,000 because I decided upon that figure, even though it was just below cost, as it turns out. The individual, we want the stations to be able to be supported. We want people who might not otherwise be able to afford it to be able to afford it. So it's a wonderful gift that you give yourself. And there's just one number to call, and we're going to give you that number in a moment here. And then all your questions will be answered by Luann. But I want you to, before we go there, I want you to hear from Luann for a moment, but then I'm going to have you hear from the people who just a few days ago left and volunteered to give us a goodbye little comment before they left. Luann, what would you like to add before we hear from a few of these people?
Well, Gary, it was just spectacular. When you have retreats, first of all, people know, if they've been listening to you, how valued your time is. And when you're actually there, you're there with people. You're waking up and doing yoga as the sun is coming up. There's just nothing so beautiful as that. And then you're moving your body, and it's not like we're going to be doing Olympic trial workouts. We're going to be doing individualizing workouts for people, people that want to lose weight, people that have maybe they just want to once and for all get detoxified, and they want to get into a nice controlled environment. It's wonderful. I have couples that want to come down. A man and his fiance saying this is a great way to start our lives together. Let's just start with a clean slate and detoxify and work it together. I have brothers and sisters. So there's so many. Anybody can come down. But certainly, you want to talk to me first. We don't want creepy people.
No, that we don't.
But you know. It's you make it so affordable, you make it so easy for people that it's hard to refuse it. And people learned about sustainability. They learned about healthy eating and how easy it is to put some of these meals together.
They ate vegetables right out of the garden. They ate sprouts galore. And by the way, later today we're putting some of the photographs up of this experience. They'll see how the people are having such joyful experiences in the water, on the road, on the bikes, in the gym, in yoga, meditation, dining. They get to see all those photos. I'm going to put photos up over the next 5 days, but the photos start later today. They'll go up.
Great.
We're going to take you to a few of these people.
I've had a really fantastic time. I was looking forward to it, didn't know what to expect, knew it sounded good, knew it was something that would be helpful to me. And right now, believe it or not, I'm cutting sprouts in the kitchen, which is, if anybody that knows me heard that, they would think that it can't be me who's talking. But it's been really great. I think I'm learning how to eat, how to prepare things. We're doing great exercise. I'm out 6 o'clock in the morning power walking, which is just news to me. Water aerobics, yoga. It's been just a total fantastic experience. It's wonderful. The setting is fantastic, and the people are so nice, like-minded. It's been great.
This retreat has been wonderful. The people are great. The property is marvelous. You get up in the morning, and the view that you see is just wonderful. The light comes up through the trees, and it slowly brightens and just give you a warm sense in your body. And Gary has shown me how to get myself back. And I'm thankful for that. And I've met a lot of beautiful people. And everybody should come on his retreat. It's just great. And this property is out of this world.
I had gotten a lot of information from Gary's show, but I didn't know how to put it into action. I'm what Gary calls a passive receptor, meaning that I had the knowledge. I just couldn't find the wherewithal to kick it in and start using it. So when I found out about this trip, I thought it would be the perfect platform for me to kick my plan into action, which I'm happy to say it has done. I've learned how to eat healthy and lost some weight. I'm exercising again. I haven't exercised in many years. Now, I'm armed. I know what to do when I get home. I'm used to living this way now for 2 weeks, so when I get home, I'm going to follow the same plan, everything that Gary's taught me. And I can't tell you the state I'm in, the energy I feel, which was totally lacking before. I always felt that I had chronic fatigue, and now it's gone. I have to thank Gary for that and everything I've learned. And I'm excited because this is just the first year of my new beginning.
The grounds are beautiful. Everybody was super nice that was on the retreat, which is really important. But the most important thing is, you know, there's the right way of living and doing stuff. Your life is an integrated whole. I mean, it is diet, which is crucial. It's attitude, which is so important. Gary's lectures, and, you know, I always look for stuff of substance, and I found that with Gary. And of course, it's just a nice thing to have here and to have it as a working type thing where you can apply it. You know, there's so many people, there's so many authors that they say a lot of words, but, you know, I'm always looking for the application portion. And Gary and what's here is so rich, and it's literally so wealthy in it. Sometimes and so often when you hear these things, you'd like to freeze frame stuff so you could just take it all in and digest it. I'm definitely better for the experience. Personally, I think I'll be a better human being. Of course, that's very general. You know, I work, of course, to support my family. I've got 3 kids. And I think we're all going to benefit from it. I know I certainly have. And I have to thank Gary personally and all the staff for it. Thank you very much.
This retreat has been very special. There's so many things that it's hard to cover everything. The lake is so beautiful. The grounds are amazing. The feeling when you're on the grounds is even more amazing. And all of the classes, the wonderful blessed food, that's made with love and care, so it's totally tasting different than food that's just prepared from anyone. I've been dreaming about this for several months. I'm sure I'll be back. There's no way you can avoid not being back here. Thank you.
Those are just some of the people. We had about 35 people who chose to come up. I was just in my studio and finishing a broadcast, and hear all these people said, we'd like to say something. I said, good. Those are just a few. Luann, we got to wrap this up. Tell people how they can get information if they'd like to join us on August 18th for a week that could change their lives, de-stress, detoxify, rejuvenate, a new beginning, learn about homesteading. They're going to learn about hydroponics and gardening and sprouting and making outstanding foods, getting themselves into shape, and spending quality time in a pristine environment. Tell them how they do that.
Sure. York, just give me a call. My home office is 631-504-6198, 631-504-6198, or you can drop me an email at whnn@aol.com. That's whnn, like Nancy, @aol.com, and I'll be happy to discuss it with you.
Thank you. Back in a moment with our special guest. Please stay with us. Thank you all for continuing to listen today. Let's go to New York, where my guest, Russell Baker, is standing by. Nice to have you with us today, Russ.
Thank you very much.
I'd given your introduction a little earlier on the program and your website, whowhatwhy.com, and your books and other work that you've done. Our interest today is in seeing if there's any unusual characteristics in the untimely death of the journalist Michael Hastings, things that you're concerned about that the major media has not talked about. Could you take us through what we know and what concerns you?
Sure. I think it was June 18, Michael Hastings, investigative reporter working, among other places, for Rolling Stone and BuzzFeed, was in Los Angeles. He was traveling somewhere at 4:30 in the morning. We don't know where, in the Hancock Park area of Los Angeles, which is adjacent to Hollywood. He was driving on a straight, relatively empty street, and at some point, for some reason that we don't know, his car accelerated tremendously, going at least 80 miles an hour, perhaps over 100 miles an hour, which would be very, very fast in a city situation like that, swerved and went up onto the pavement in the middle of the street and hit a tree. There was a large explosion. We are told that the engine of the Mercedes flew up to 100 feet, and he was killed. It's a very strange story for a lot of different reasons. One, of course, is just, you know, why was he there? Where was he going at 4:30 in the morning? Why was he driving so fast? What happened to the car? And then there are other odd things. The authorities have not been very forthcoming. We also understand that they had the body cremated without consulting the family, and that particularly sends up some red flags of concern.
Let's give a little background on Michael Hastings and who might have been interested in seeing him dead.
Sure. Michael Hastings was basically known for a story he did several years ago in Rolling Stone, where he got permission to travel with General Stanley McChrystal in Afghanistan. He was running the show there, and he published a rather shocking, lengthy profile in which we see and hear McChrystal and his staff basically making fun of, among other things, President Obama. It's all sort of reckless behavior. Surprising they did that in front of a reporter. Surprising that was published. In any case, Obama was put in a difficult position and ultimately made the decision to force McChrystal's resignation. McChrystal then left the military for a post at Yale. He also, as I understand, has joined the boards of a number of corporations. Certainly that was the big claim to fame for Michael Hastings. He went on to do some more stories. We understand that he was working on stories related to further military national intelligence subjects, possibly relating to the Central Intelligence Agency. We also understand that he communicated with people close to him and indicated that he was working on a big story, was very excited about it, was a little bit scared, and said that he understood that the FBI was making inquiries about him and that people might expect, particularly BuzzFeed, one of his publications, that they might expect to hear from the Bureau.
Okay, so he had enemies. He had people he had embarrassed who were very powerful. Some of those people could have, though there's no proof, have wanted to see him dead. So right now we have more questions. We have very few answers. It's just, it's more than an anomaly. It goes against what is reasonable and logic and what normally happens in these circumstances, especially just hours before he died. He was telling some close friends that he was on a big story and that he was very concerned. So a lot of red flags up, but this has happened before. Karen Silkwood was one of those people it happened to, and Danny and another person who I knew that happened to. So, and those were never resolved. So let's hope that more information comes forward at some point on this.
At Who, What, Why, you know, we published an article based on the sort of eyewitness account of a journalist whose girlfriend actually owns a restaurant on the block. The restaurant did have security camera footage showing the car hitting the tree and exploding. Unfortunately, we haven't been able yet to obtain that footage, and we know the LAPD has it, and we're making efforts to obtain it. We have been making efforts, but so far no luck on that. There is a tremendous amount of speculation on the web. We see it in the comments on our site. I understand the speculation. I'm none too happy about the certitude with which people assert that either it was definitely an accident or it definitely was not, and I think the role of good journalists is to be open-minded, to dig, but not to come to any conclusions prematurely. If you do, you just discredit the work itself.
I agree.
But Gary, we are very, very concerned about these things. The fact of the matter is journalists are killed by powerful interests. I was at a investigative journalists conference a month ago, and there were journalists from Mexico there talking about how many of them have been killed just in the last year, most of it related to the drug trade, but also in Mexico, if you get too close to certain corrupt politicians and things, bad things can happen to you. And I don't think it's impossible that those things could happen in this country. We certainly had the case of Don Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S, almost 30 years ago, and he was a reporter in Arizona working on a big corruption story, and he was killed when a bomb was put in his car. The journalism community rallied, they investigated this thing, and they established, in fact, that he had been assassinated, and some people, we think probably the lower-level people, went to jail for that. But I'd like to see the same sort of effort mounted in the case of Michael Hastings. And I have to say I'm disappointed, and I think it's a sign of our times, that the media just reported the story very quickly and then moved right on, and there has been absolutely no effort. We haven't heard from any journalistic organizations or journalistic individuals saying, hey, we'd like to work with you, and we'd like to see what we can do to move this story forward.
We appreciate what you're doing on this, Russ, over at whowhatwhy.com. And as developments occur, please keep us in mind, and we will bring this information to our audience.
Sure. Happy to do it, and thank you, Gary.
All the best. Russ Baker. I'm Gary Nall. To finish off our program today, I promised that I would do a commentary on bank fraud. But mind you, I'm about to release a major article. I've been working on it for a long time with our executive producer, Richard Gale. I tried to separate out all of the people who claim that the New World Order, the Illuminati, the bankers, they're all responsible, and I wanted to see how much of it was real. And after all of our investigations, we've come up with a piece entitled Who Controls the World? It's about 2,000 people. I won't go further than that, but this is one way to understand how they protect each other, how they get their agenda across. And it will be a blueprint. And this is from Andrew Gavin Marshall from Alternet. Let me quote this. It'll be posted on my site today, Bank of America's Recipe for Getting Away with Massive Fraud, Racketeering, and Money Laundering. This July, Bank of America was expecting to report on earnings and increases of 32% from last year. The Washington Business Journal declared the bank among the top 10, quote, most improved brands of the year. Bank of America is the second largest bank in the United States following J.P. Morgan Chase. So why does this bank deserve such an improved reputation? Perhaps it's worth looking at a little of the bank's record on some clarity. During the first year of the global financial crisis, which the big banks helped to create, and which they profited enormously from, the government stepped in to bail out Bank of America. They rewarded the bank with $20 billion for its massive financial crimes, as well as a special guarantee of $100 billion of potential losses on the balance sheets of Merrill Lynch, which Bank of America acquired during the crisis. As it turns out, Bank of America and other big banks continue to get backdoor bailouts through the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which acts as a legal guarantor and protector of the Wall Street chain gang of criminal conglomerates. The bank was recently added to a list compiled by a corporate watchdog group of the Dirty Dozen, criminal financial institutions, for its role deceiving investors, committing mortgage and foreclosure abuses, and engaging in municipal bond rigging and illegal payments. As an aside, by the way, if any of us ever committed any of these crimes, we would be in jail forever and our reputations forever permanently soiled. When these people commit a crime, they can call the White House. They can call the Justice Department. They can call anyone. That's how powerful they are. And they get people on the phone and they get protected. When Matt Taibbi wrote in Rolling Stone that Bank of America was a hyper-glutinous ward of the state whose limitless fraud and criminal conspiracies we're all paying for until the end of time, he wasn't exaggerating. The bank foreclosed on tens of thousands of Americans through a mass perjury scheme and pushed worthless mortgages on pension funds and unions. As several big banks, including Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, agreed to pay a $25 billion settlement with the government over abusive mortgage practices, the Department of Justice granted the banks what amounted to a legal immunity, quote, from civil government claims over faulty foreclosures. In January, Bank of America settled to pay $11.6 billion to the government-controlled mortgage company Fannie Mae in response to a legal battle over bad loans. And hence, it was all over. Now, mind you, you may think that's a lot of money. Think of it for a moment. $25 billion settlement, and every bad mortgage, every liar's loan, every manipulation is always wiped clean. Well, how big is $25 billion? 1 week's worth of income for the banks. 1 week. 7 days. And if you divide up the $25 billion among the banks, and that's how they laughed it off at our expense. So all of you who lost your homes, all of you who worked so hard, used up all your savings, sold assets, sold your car so you could stay in your home, you suffered. Not one of you, not a single human being, has been made whole by their fraud. Yet they were made 100,000 times whole because we not only bailed them out for all their bad practices without recognizing that these were terrible business people, and yet these were the so-called best and brightest. Well, best and brightest at what? At deceiving the public, at lying, at scheming, at conniving? Yes. At buying politicians, the whores that they are? Yes. At pimping for everything they wanted in the world and getting it, including gigantic bonuses? Yes. Of thumbing their nose at the Securities Exchange Commission, the U.S. Justice Department? Yes. None of them, not a single one of them, was brought upon crimes because they recognized that through their lawyers and their lobbyists, they can control Congress, the White House, the Justice Department. That's how powerful they are, and that's how they work. In June of 2013, six former Bank of America employees and one contractor issued sworn statements in which they accused the bank of lying to homeowners, fraudulently denying loan modifications, and paying bonuses to staff who push people into foreclosure. One of the whistleblowers commented, quote, "We were told to lie to customers," end quote. Employees that pushed 10 or more homeowners per month into foreclosure would receive a $500 bonus, and the bank, quote, also gave employees gift cards to retail stores like Target and Bed Bath & Beyond as rewards for placing accounts into foreclosure, end quote. Furthermore, anyone who questioned the ethics of the bank's practices was summarily fired, a policy that led to a lawsuit in which homeowners accused the bank of racketeering, quote, to defraud homeowners who sought modifications and acted as the kingpin of that racketeering enterprise. Of course, it doesn't end there. Bank of America, along with multiple other big banks, has been accused of laundering money for Mexico's drug cartels. The FBI confirmed that Bank of America was involved in laundering drug money for the Los Zetas drug cartel in Mexico. Those are the ones that cut off people's heads. Those are the ones that have killed thousands of people. Bank of America loves them because they love their money. However, in a twist of fine news for the bank, the U.S. government regulators indicated they would not hold the bank responsible for any of its actions. So how does a massive criminal enterprise engaging in large-scale fraud, racketeering, and money laundering get a free pass from the U.S. government? The bank's financial clout in the economy certainly plays a part, but so do its affiliations. Now, here's where we take just a moment to tell you how they actually get away with it. So if you want to be a huge gangster, if you want to be more powerful than Lucky Luciano, the Gambinos, the Lucci's, and all the others, all you have to do is be on people's board of directors and have friends who are in that interlocking ring of corruption. Research conducted by the Global Power Project found 28 individuals at Bank of America, including executives and members of the board of directors, with institutional affiliations, underline it, institutional affiliations. For the individuals who hold leadership positions, Bank of America are also affiliated with major foreign policy think tanks in the United States, the Council on Foreign Relations. Three individuals are connected with Morgan Stanley, another major financial institution, while two affiliations exist with World Business Council for Sustainable Development. By the way, their sustainable development is for themselves. The Business Council, Catalyst, Duke University, Stanford University, and BlackRock. Now, the following institutions each also hold one individual affiliated with Bank of America: Royal Dutch Shell, DuPont, Deere & Company, the World Wildlife Fund, the President's Export Council, Harvard, the World Economic Forum, Brookings Institute, Sara Lee Corporation, Monsanto. Oh, yeah. Why should we be surprised? CBS. There's your news. BAE Systems, General Dynamics, Walt Disney Company. There's another news. President Obama's Council on Jobs and Competitiveness, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Business Roundtable, Financial Services Forum, Pepsi-Cola, Carlyle Group, Booz Allen Hamilton, Goldman Sachs, the International Advisory Panel for the Monetary Authority of Singapore, and the International Advisory Board of the National Bank of Kuwait. The Bank of America CEO, Brian Moynihan, was a former executive vice president at Fleet Boston and director of BlackRock. He is currently a member of the Business Roundtable and vice chairman of the Financial Services Forum, as well as being a member of the International Advisory Panel of the Monetary Authority of Singapore. Charles Holliday is the chairman of the Board of Bank of America and a director of the Dutch Royal Shell, and was CEO of DuPont. He was the former chairman of World Business Council for Sustainable Development, the Business Council, Catalyst, Society for Chemical Industry, and is a founding member of the International Business Council. And another individual, Monica Lozano, is chairman and CEO of Impre Media, and as well as a member of the board of directors of Walt Disney Company. She's also a member of the board of regents of University of California, trustee of the University of Southern California, director of Weingart Foundation. And then it goes on to talk about all their affiliations. So Bank of America is, in short, a profound symbol of much that is wrong on Wall Street: massive fraud, money laundering, racketeering, conspiracy, and weighty influence in Washington beyond. It's comforting to know that these people are so connected to President Obama and his Council on Jobs and Competitiveness. They advise the president one-on-one, and they're the ones who are supposedly guiding the recovery. In terms of media reporting on Bank of America crimes, well, Lozano, as CEO of a media company and board member of the Walt Disney Company, along with Bank of America board member Charles Gifford, who sits on the board of directors of CBS Corporation, signaled that a fair portrayal of the bank's activities aren't exactly what the public should expect. So that's how you become too big to fail, too big to jail, and the connections are massive. It's all about who you know, whose board you're on, and that gives you a get-out-of-jail-free pass. And that's true of every single one of over 170 corporations, large and small, that have not been under any criminal jurisdiction because they're too big, because of who they know, who can make a phone call, and everything stops. You and I can't make those phone calls. They can't. You and I are not sitting on multiple boards. They are. That's how they got away with it. It's not the Illuminati. It's not secret societies. It's not the, you know, the skull and bones. No, it's just people who are more often than not sociopathic. The need for power supersedes all moral considerations. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Now let's say hello to Eutrice Lee. Hi, Eutrice.
Hello, Gary. Today it is open phones. So the listeners take the conversation wherever they choose.
Great. Eutrice Lee, right now.
So in love with you, but